Hello and welcome to another episode of Mortgage Influencers, where we bring you professionals who share insight into the latest trends, tips, industry technology, and services to help you be a mortgage influencer in your mortgage business.
Okay, we want to welcome everyone to our Wednesday live streaming podcast for mortgage influencers. Hello, Steve Richmond.
Hello, Ginger.
And Scott Chang may hop on. I know he is in the middle of throes of doing a ton of AI training lately. But we're going to go ahead and get started because I am delighted to be able to introduce our guest today, Miss April Russell. So April, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
I'm cutting off the conversation because I'm the most excited person in April. Because she's like my neighbor. She's my friend. My colleague, everything. I get to see her every so often around here. So I'm just super tickled and happy to have April here because wealth of knowledge going on right up there in her brain. And we're going to get to hear all of it today.
Well, and you know, that's what it's all about. So, you know, you think about it, you know, Steve, you and I have known each other for many, many years, have an opportunity from time to time to see each other, although we've never spoken on stage at the same time. So we've got to make that happen.
We've spoken at the same conferences,
but we've never shared the stage. So I think we need to make that a goal for 2024 to make that happen. So we'll work on that. But you know, that's a lot of it. You know, we're blessed in our industry to be able to work alongside, know of a lot of some amazing people. And April, you are definitely one of those who comes to mind. And I know the two of you have known each other for a while because you're both in North Carolina. And so before we were getting started in the green room, April said, I remember when I met Steve for the very first time. And so we don't get a lot of stories about Steve here. So I would love to hear that story because I think it probably is something that has a little bit of humor involved if I know Steve well enough.
Of course it does. Anyone who knows Steve, of course, knows when he's presenting, he is working the room, right? He's moving around. He's learning people's names. So if you can imagine, I might have been a mortgage loan officer, maybe not even 2 years at that point. We're in this large conference center at a country club, basically. And there's probably about 250, 300 loan officers in this space. And of all people for him to find, and he was discussing the market and we were talking, he said something and then he goes like, yeah. And he walks up to me and he goes, what's your name? And I said, I'm April. He's like, is your boss in here? And I'm like, yes. He's like, April, 300 people are looking at you right now. What's DTI? And when I tell you, for the life of me, I could not say what DTI was. I was just stuck on my boss is here and 300 people are staring at me. And then when I looked around, they really were.
just as a little trick.
Totally lost it. I was like, I don't have no idea what DTI is. Like the girl sitting next to me was like, debt to income. Like she's trying to tell me what to say because I froze.
And that's why they have those silly TV shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? When the first question is like, how could you, what does NBA stand for? And everybody's like, how do you not know that? But when you have that pressure that's sitting right there, your brain definitely does something different. But you smiled the whole time while you were doing it. You were a great sport. And we became good friends after that. So
we
everything
did. I was like, I like this guy. He's pretty cool.
Well, so here's the amazing thing, because I know you know what debt-to-income ratio is, and you did know back then, but now you're actually teaching, and you're teaching education to real estate agents along those lines. So, you know, you look at that terrifying freezing moment that obviously you overcame, because now you're going and you're conducting training workshops and doing a lot of speaking for real estate agents. So How did that happen?
Well, I'm a presenter at heart, I feel like. I've always loved public speaking, even as a little girl, and I still have cassette tapes of me. I used to have my own talk shows as a little girl. I would record myself on cassette with talk shows, and I would sing my commercial breaks, if you can imagine, and sing commercials. But anyway.
No. Give us a little song. Come on.
Are you serious?
It's the holidays. I used to sing
the Zest soap commercial. Zestfully clean, never felt as clean as now. Zestfully clean, you're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean.
Love it.
Wow, Steve.
Talk really about a blast from the past. So two things I love. She recorded it on a cassette.
Still remembers it.
And still remembers it. Okay, so we always have to have a lesson here.
Again, just put me on the spot again. Did you see that? Did.
Oh my God. You remembered it.
I did.
But you remembered it. So here's the thing, and this goes into the training that you're doing. And if you guys are watching this, and you're making videos or doing podcasts or doing training, having that song, having that thing that brings you back to that, the meeting Steve for the first time and what he had you do, those are all things that are impactful moments that make a difference. Whether you're meeting with someone for the first time, whether you're meeting with a borrower, whether you're meeting with a real estate agent, it's those kind of impactful things that people remember. And so, as odd as that sounds, those are the kind of things, the more you can use that and be memorable and be re-memorable to where people remember and take them back to that moment. Because that's exactly what happened here, right? What Steve did took you back to that moment. You remember that moment. And Steve does an excellent job of really incorporating a lot of those into his speaking that he does. And I know as you're, doing a lot of your training, you're doing as well, which brings us into our little segue of being memorable. And that is your book. So, hello, best-selling author.
All because of you. Yeah. Thank you.
You know what? I think a lot of it, so thank you for that. I have been blessed. The first book I ever wrote was with Brian Tracy. We were able to make several best-selling lists. I've written probably about 30 since then. And that was one of the things this year that I just made as a goal. It's like, I want to help other people find their voice and leverage their expertise. And I've been doing it in video, I've been doing it in podcasts, but book publication is something that a lot of people don't think that they can attain. And so being able to work with a publisher like myself and be able to get that done, it wasn't that hard, right? I mean, once we got through finding out, okay, this is what you want to do, who's your audience, what do you talk about, the rest of it kind of fell into place. So how did you decide who was your audience? Who were you writing this book for?
I am all about educating real estate agents. And so the book is geared toward a real estate agent. Of course, it's called The Growth Playbook, a real estate agent's daily success plan. And my ultimate goal is to be a source of information for agents. That's how I've been able to build my relationships with agents that I currently work with. They know I'm a source of information. I have agents reaching out to me. I may or may not be the loan officer on that deal, but April knows this. And if April doesn't know, she'll find out for me. So I've been able to develop those type of relationships with agents just by presenting myself as a person of information to them. Makes me more
value. That's the value. Yeah, I mean, that's the value in that. And so bringing that information to them. So the book is for real estate agents. Go ahead, Steve.
I want to talk about that for 1 second. This is what I think April does that's so great is April came in and she says, I have credibility because they know that I'm going to answer their questions. They know that I know what I'm talking about. They know I'm going to get the answer and follow up with them. And in today's world, a lot of people are saying, how do I differentiate myself and how do I earn credibility? Well, long-term is what April's done over years and years and years. But you know how you get instant credibility? Write a book. Because the minute that you have a book that's sitting right there, you are an author. And all of a sudden, that dial of, okay, I've been doing this for the last 20 years and you know I'm good at it, it shrinks that timeline when you have a book under your belt.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. When they see that, they know that you have taken the time to have your expertise, your information, to be able to share that in a way that very few people do. And so it does. It puts you in a completely different light. So you launched the book. It was launched when?
November 1st.
November 1st.
Right around November 1. So it's been about, what, 45 days now, almost, that it's been available. But it has definitely been a game changer. I would say if anyone is considering or thinking about putting a book out there, absolutely go for it. Don't hesitate. Don't be a procrastinator like me. You know, that was one of the first things I said to Ginger, like, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about doing a book now. Oh, before COVID, 3-4 years ago. And I didn't do it, procrastinating, thinking, oh, would anybody read it? Heck. And who would have thought December 13th, April Russell, best-selling author. Who would have thought? Right. I could have never thought of that. But I will say the book has definitely been a game changer for me in terms of extending my relationships. So not just with the agents that I currently know, but like Steve was saying, it has opened up doors. I have probably met upwards of about 50 agents in the last 45 days that I did not know, that I may have heard of. Maybe I was following them, you know, on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, but I hadn't actually met them. Just by having the book, again, it gives more credibility. So I'm not just this loan officer out here posting on social media. No, I actually have something of value. And I've been able to leverage the book in terms of meeting other agents and brokers in charge and team leads. It's definitely been a game changer.
I love that. And the thing of it is too, so a couple of things. So the book is available on Amazon. It's only available as print. So people always ask, you know, should I do an ebook, a Kindle? I don't like doing those because I want to have that physical copy to be able to use as part of your marketing. And that's really the idea as far as what you're doing is to leverage your credibility, build your credibility, but then also to be able to use it. The other thing is to use it to build a list. So one of the things that we did with your book is we created a landing page. And so people can go and order the book. And we did that because if they go directly to Amazon, it's, you know, fine. You're not having to ship it or anything like that, but you're not building your list. And so that is something I think for me, I learned early on in my book is control the ordering of your book. You can still have it on Amazon. That's fine. But have it go through a website. And it was interesting because you found out that people didn't want to just get one book, right?
Right.
They wanted to order in bundles. So we actually had to create a bundle order. So tell me about that.
Yes. So this actually happened. I was at right before my book signing, that same evening at my book signing party, which was phenomenal, by the way. We had such a great time. But I had a team lead who wanted to buy multiple books for her agents. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hate for her to keep going back on here, you know, because the quantity was one at the time. So I'm like, oh gosh, we need a bundle. So I appreciate you for jumping right in. They're like, sure, we'll get this updated for you so that I can actually offer the bundle. And the bundle has definitely been a game changer as well. I mean, I've sold a lot of bundles, but it's the perfect timing. And I think the timing of all of this was really important for me as well, just because it's the holiday season. So the book is the perfect gift to give someone. Give the gift of growth. You know, that's what I've been saying. Give a gift of growth. You know, for some, hey, business looks a little bit different. Business is down. Maybe that big can't give everybody a $50 or $100 gift card, right? Everyone on the team. Who doesn't have $9.99 for a book? Or $7.99 if you go through Agent Growth Lab and get the discount, you know? So.
Well, and that's a lot of it, you know, you have agents, broker of records, going and buying your book. So they're paying you money buying your book, which, by the way, has your picture on it. I'll make sure and drop a link. So if you guys want to see what the book looks like, you can go to, there you go. She's got a copy of it. And one of the things that I've learned too, guys, so it's very important, have your picture on the cover. A lot of people, I think, miss that opportunity of having your picture on the cover, but it's about branding you. A book is about branding you. So I think that's very important. And then the website is agentgrowthlab.co. So if you go to agentgrowthlab.co, then you can find out and you can see her book there. But I want to talk about your book signing because we just brushed over that. So tell me, where was your book signing held at?
So I had it at a place here in Raleigh called Uncorked. So it's basically a wine. It's a wine and dessert bar in Bedford area. Steve knows exactly where that is. It's around the corner, literally. But yeah, so I had it there at Uncorked. So, you know, with me advertising it or how I was kind of putting it out there, it was, hey, come out, book signing party, have a glass of wine on me, enjoy some light hors d'oeuvres, and just network. So it was also a great networking opportunity as well for other agents. So it was almost like a happy hour in a way, because we were at a wine bar. But it was a great event. I had a great
event. Can I ask you a question about that though?
Sure.
You just wrote your first book. Cause I know this is what's going through people's heads right now. So I want to see how you reacted to this. Mm-hmm. I just wrote my book. I'm going to Uncork. I'm saying to the world, hi, I'm going to have a book signing. I mean, you're not Stephen King, right? I mean, it's like, hi, I'm all of a sudden. Did you have that nervousness of, are people going to show up to this? Am I going to be sitting here in the middle of Uncorked all by myself? Talk to me about how you dealt with, I mean, you're like, that's okay, more wine for me. But, you know, tell me a little bit about how you dealt with that neurosis of, if you build it, they will come, right? If I have a book signing, they will come. How'd you do that?
So I was extremely nervous about having the book signing. And like you said, in the back of my mind, I honestly, for the number of people that did show up, I didn't think they would show up. I was shocked by the number that actually showed up. And even with the book orders coming in, you could ask Ginger, I was just shocked by, oh, another order. So leading up to it, I advertised it for the most part. I have like a newsletter type thing that I send out every week to agents anyway in the local area. So I sent out the flyer for the book launch party as well. But even when I asked for RSVPs, I didn't get any RSVPs because I was like, hey, let me know if you're coming. DM me RSVP to my number, my phone number. I got nothing. So, and I'm like, okay, are we still doing this? You know? So I was definitely nervous about it. However, what I have found with anything that I'm doing, even down to lunch and learns with agents, it doesn't matter. If two people show up, 20 or 200, consistency is key. Yeah. Have the event anyway. It doesn't matter. Keep it going. So now I'll also be for 2024, second Thursdays, I'm going to be doing happy hours. Guess where? Uncorked. Guess what else will be there? My book. So I'll just continue that. And it won't matter to me how many people show up. As long as I consistently do it, the people will come. And I truly believe the right people that I needed to see on that night for my book launch party, that is who showed up. The right people that I needed to see in that moment.
I love it.
So does that mean tomorrow you're having a, is tomorrow the second Thursday for December?
We're starting in 2024, Steve.
Okay. No, because I couldn't be. I'm coming. That's
next
why.
Month. Oh, trust me. You'll hear about it.
All right. That's why.
You'll see it.
So consistency, as you said, and even though you didn't get any RSVPs, you had 24 agents show up.
Right. I still had a good number actually.
That's
show
a great.
Up, so.
That's a great turnout.
No,
it was
that's
wonderful.
Big.
And the thing of it is, so people are always asking, it's like, okay, the book launched. Now what? You know, I had a book signing. Now what? There, I mean, I still have my book with Brian Tracy. I've written two books with Brian Tracy, one with Jack Canfield, and I still promote those books. I still have copies and I use them for promotions, you know, for what? It's a long-term thing. So every single one. How many chapters are in your book? I can't remember. Was it
like, there are 23.
23 chapters.
Yep.
So each one of those chapters, and we talked about this, April, could honestly be a very short little lunch and learn workshop where if you were going into an office, you honestly could set up a series for the entire year, almost 2 years, where you would just go in to an office and each month work on one chapter. And it's 15 minutes. And so we have some, you know, worksheets you have that go along with that. I mean, some of it's time management, some of it's social media, some of it's, you know, all of that. And I know people are probably wondering, how did you write this book this fast? And so I don't want to give away everything, but basically we started with a template. And so that was a lot of it. And then once you have an idea, then it's a matter of just forming it. It is not, it really isn't that hard once you get over that first hurdle of, I'm going to write a book. And I think the first thing is, who's your audience? Who's your audience? A lot of people think it needs to be consumers, and you can definitely write books for consumers. You know, we have clients, we've done that, but I love that you wrote this for real estate agents. Because nobody focuses on helping them. And if we do, we always talk about what? Mortgages?
Right.
But with this book, you talked about helping them grow their business, helping them be good. And now they're buying the books and they're using it with their teams, which, I mean, that honestly, it's like, that's the greatest thing you can hope for, right? The greatest thing you can hope for. And I mean, you think about if you brought in, say, you know, you have a flyer, it's like you have a handout, a lead gen, a workshop, whatever. Most of the time people won't, you know, say, hey, can I, you know, buy that, you know, planning guide that you have. They're paying you to basically give them marketing and to help them in their business. And that is the beauty of writing a book, which I think a lot of people miss out on. So the second part of it goes into, you're going to start a book club. So tell me about that.
Yes. So with the book, of course, I want to make connection. So it's, yes, some, you know, agents bought my book. That's beautiful. But I also want to connect with them. Mm-hmm. So this is, having this book and doing the book club is just another way for me to build upon those relationships. So we'll start a book club right around January 2nd, January 3rd or so there, that first week, and right after, you know, New Year. And we're just going to book club through the month of January. But I actually did this same thing earlier this year. In January of 2023, I did a book club to connect with agents. But guess what? It was another loan officer's book. It wasn't my book. I didn't have a book, right? So I'm like, you know what? This year, it's my book.
There you go.
That was my book. But I think what also sets the book apart too is the fact that, like you said, it's not me talking about mortgages. It's actually providing them with information that is actually beneficial to them, mm-hmm. as an agent, to help them to grow. But also that a loan officer has a book about growth for a real estate agent. So it kind of gives it to them from a different perspective too, because I think there's a little curiosity there as well. Like, oh, what does a loan officer have to say about that? You know, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of the activity that real estate agents and loan officers do, it's almost the same,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. It really is. Love the fact this book will never get old, like you said, mm-hmm. to continue to promote it. The activities and suggestions in this book, they will never be old. There won't ever be a point in time where it's not beneficial, that these actual tactics don't work. They will always work.
Yeah. Because it's sales. I mean, it's what we do in our business anyway. So, you know, it's going through your activity, calling your borrowers, you know, talking about what deals you have going on. That's the beginning part of it. And that doesn't change. I think you could honestly take this same book, April, change a little bit of the language and have it geared toward financial planners. have it geared towards, you know, another audience, business owners. I think the principles, and Steve, you know, because you speak so much as far as those principles of success, you know, it's like it translates in honestly into any industry. Time management, social media, standing out, all of those things. And that was the base of the book. So,
and if you think about it, what April's doing, and we all know what's going on in the real estate and the mortgage industry right now, we're all trying to do what? Find more and more lead sources, more and more referral sources. So if all of a sudden you do this for financial planners, get back to what we said before, you get the credibility in front of the financial planners, and all of a sudden you've established the relationship. I have a question for you, April, though, because I'm about, okay, it worked for you. Other people are listening to this. I want this to work for them as well, right? You told me starting, we're going to go over that hurdle. You told me, oh, I used to be a presenter and I used to sing about Zest Soap and I used to do, and I love to teach courses and I'm a talker. You're a talker. Did you write the book or did you dictate the book?
Can it be both?
No, and I say
can
that.
Can I say both?
Because someone taught me, I didn't know how to do this. And they're like, if you go and go into Microsoft Word and there's a little microphone there and you just hit dictate, you can just sit there and say the stuff and you don't have to type it out. And to me, for a lot of speakers, that's a big hurdle for them to overcome to write their book.
Right. So no, it was a little bit of both. But for the most part, writing it. Old school.
Well, I think a lot of it too is, as you know, as I said, we have, because April, you know, came to me with this, she goes, I want to do this. And it's like, okay, I have developed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of courses, articles, blah, 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 blah. So for me, it's like, this is where you need to start. When you start with the base and yes, you can talk, you can dictate, you can do all of that. But you have to begin with, number one, who's your audience? Number two, what are you going to teach them? And I always like to start with the end in mind. So anytime I work with an author and writing a book, I always say, when they finish the book, what do you want them to walk away with? And so when you have those two things, then the rest of it comes into play. And so you start with the outline, you can dictate it, you can work through ChatGPT with an outline and have it, you know, work through certain, you know, ideas and things like that. There's a lot of different ways to be able to do it, but it is not that hard and it's not that long. So that's the other thing I think a lot of people think, Steve, is you need to have, you know, it needs to be a, you know, Brian Tracy or a Jack Canfield side book. It doesn't. I mean, we have.
It doesn't have to be 400 pages, folks.
No.
It shouldn't be 400 pages.
Yeah, I mean, we have some authors. I have an author we're taking onto Amazon this month who I think that her book is probably around 40 pages. And I just actually worked with her. We extended it and added some checklists and things like that. And, you know, it's like, you have all this information up here. It's a matter of taking that and saying, okay, now let's form it and put it together. And so for me, that's where I come in with my expertise is I'm a developer. And so it's like, let's take that crazy idea and put it down. And that's what, you know, April has. She goes, this is what I want to do. And so it's like, let's get it all together.
Yeah, I would say anyone considering thinking about the book, look, schedule a call with Ginger. Seriously, you need to schedule your call with Ginger and figure out what it is that you're looking to do. Like she said, who your audience is, what do you want the outcome to be as an end result? And ultimately for me, I wanted to put something out there that I felt like agents could use, and I wanted them to feel empowered when they were done with the book. Like, hey, I can go accomplish this. I can do this now. That was my ultimate goal. So that they wouldn't feel like they wasted time reading
exactly
the book. You know, and I'm not saying this because it's my book. It's a good book.
It's a great
it
book.
And it's not because it's
mine. A best-selling book.
There's great information in there for you to grow your business. So yeah, and like Steve said, think about where we are right now. We're all looking for ways to grow our business. But I think a lot of it too is just getting back to basics. And that's a lot of what this book is also.
Yeah, it is 100%.
It's just a friendly reminder.
Well, and April had a really good, she knew what she wanted for her brand. And that's part of it too in the book, that really it was creating everything together, not just the book, but how the book ties in with her brand, with her colors, with where she's going. You know, she's doing workshops, she's starting a CE course, you know, all of those things. I like to see where it's like, let's make it into the bigger picture. And this is not your only book. This is just your first book. That's so right. I know that there's more books. So we're going to close out in just a minute. I do have a question from Randy as far as he's curious about how much it costs to create a book and have it published. So it kind of depends on how much work you have done and how much work you need to have outsourced. So we do have templates that you can work from that we have available. We also have some people we work with that we ghostwrite the entire thing. So it just kind of depends on what you want to do in your book. And so, you know, it's like, I can tell you my first book that I wrote with Brian Tracy, I think it ended up costing me about, I want to say like $8,000, which was very affordable at the time. The second book, it was probably around $12,000. Costs have really come down quite a bit now as far as different things. So it is not that much, but if you're going to hire someone who's going to do, you know, all of the ghostwriting, it's probably going to cost you around $5,000. If you start with a templated book and work with someone and you go do it together, it's probably around $2,500. So that's just, hopefully, Randy, that answered your question for you. But that's usually what you're looking at. It's a great investment, I can tell you that. I mean, it's a very good investment to be able to do that, and a great way to stand out. So, April, thank you so much. So if people want to find you, you are at, give us your website again.
AgentGrowthLab.co.
AgentGrowthLab.co. And if you are in the North Carolina area, make sure on the second Thursday.
Yes.
Right?
If you're in the Triangle area, yes, it'll be second Thursdays. We'll be at Uncorked. Happy hour.
I love it. Well, I'm going to have to make a trip to North Carolina sometimes in 2024 so I can be there for that. I would love to be able to do that. Absolutely. And so for those of you who are joining us, if you want to, you know, follow April, follow her, connect with her. If you want to hear more about the book, you can go to my site, edumarketing.com. You can find some information there. And Steve, I want to thank you so much for joining. We actually are going to close this call, the Mortgage Influencers Out for 2023. We're going to take the next 2 weeks off for the holidays. And so we wish you all a very wonderful holiday season. Happy New Year. All of those things. We will continue to be posting things. And in 2024, we're going to be coming back with a whole lot of AI. So Scott and I have been working on some things, and we have a launch that we're starting the first week. I think it's going to be right January 2nd. We're going to come straight out of the gate and leveraging AI for some of your planning that you're going to do in 2024. So April, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
If you're taking time off, people, take time off and read a book. Get April's book and you'll love it. It'll make your holidays that much more merry. Thanks, April.
I love it. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.